Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 6. We're going to continue on going through this amazing book, the book of Acts, that's been teaching us so much about what it means to be the church. And as you're turning there, I want to say how grateful I am to be in a church that understands this calling that we've received to be a part of the body of Christ. And since we've put out the call for people to serve, especially as we are adding a third service in just 2 weeks from now, we've had nearly 100 people say yes to serving here in this church. So that's awesome. And you guys get it. You understand that coming to church is not just about what you can receive, but it's also about what you can give. And that's just a clear indication of a healthy and a growing church, which we're continuing to see, and we see modeled for us in the book of Acts. I really have been enjoying this book that teaches us all about what it means to be the church. And so today we have much to learn from Acts chapter 6. We're going to be picking it up at verse 8 and making our way to the end of the chapter at verse 15. So let me read it, and then I'll pray, and we'll begin diving into God's word. So Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 8, says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of those of Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, 'We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, 'This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us.' And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel." Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you today. And your word tells us, Lord, to behold Jesus Christ, to look into his wonderful face. God, we want to seek you. We want to know you more and more. And thank you that by the power of your word and by the power of your spirit, Jesus, you are revealed to us. We thank you for this man, Stephen's life, and a model and an example that he is for all of us here today. Would we learn and apply these things to our lives so that we can live for you, Jesus? And we pray in your name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Well, you guys know that in the first part of chapter 6, we saw that a problem arose in the church. There were these Hellenistic Jews who were complaining against the Hebrew Jews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. There were needs in the church that were being overlooked and unmet, and any time that there's needs being overlooked or unmet in the church, you should do something about it. And thankfully, the apostles did something about it. They put a call out to the church to identify more leaders who could serve the basic needs of the church. And so this call to action pleased the church, and they identified 7 men who could serve tables. They would be the ones to go out and meet the needs of the widows so that the apostles could continue focusing on the ministry of teaching God's word and praying. And so they found these 7 men, they raised them up and appointed them. But you remember that these people had to be qualified. We looked at the qualifications last time. These men needed to be of good reputation. They had to be full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. And among those 7 men that were chosen, there was a man by the name of Stephen. And today and over the next 2 Sundays, we're going to be looking at this man, Stephen's life. And Luke does a really good job at showing us what a quality guy Stephen was. And so starting in verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people." You guys are going to really come to like Stephen as we look at his life over really the next 3 weeks. But unfortunately, his life story is going to be cut short in the book of Acts. Spoiler alert, you can plug your ears if you don't want to hear what's going to happen. But Stephen dies at the end of chapter 7. Stephen will become the first follower of Jesus to be martyred for his faith in Christ. But let's talk for a moment about what we know of Stephen up until this point. You know, have you ever heard someone say about another person, he is full of himself? That's not a good thing to have said about you. It's probably not even a good thing to say about another person, but you get what we're saying here, is that each one of us are full of something. The question is, what are we full of? You could be full of self. You could be full of pride, full of hatred or lust or anger. But we want to be full of better things. We want to be full of good things, right? And so far, these are the qualities that Luke has said Stephen was full of. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. We saw that in verse 5, and it seems that everything else in his life springs forth because he was full of the Spirit. But Stephen was full of wisdom. We see that in verse 3. Stephen was full of faith, verse 5. Stephen was full of grace, verse 8. And Stephen was full of power, also verse 8. So the Holy Spirit, wisdom, faith, grace, in power. This man, Stephen, was overflowing with these spiritual qualities that are found in Jesus Christ. And he was a man who was being deeply conformed into the image of Jesus. One of the things we're going to see about Stephen is how closely he resembles Christ. Stephen was a godly man, a man who lived a godly life in Christ, and it was evident to all. Now remember this, Stephen was a man who was chosen to do small and simple tasks in the church. He was a table server. He wasn't an apostle. He didn't write any of the scriptures. He was a regular guy who made sure that the basic needs of the church were being met. And yet we see here in verse 8 that he was full of grace and power. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 5, we saw that he was full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And those virtues, right, can certainly be connected. You could say that to be full of grace, you must be full of faith. To be full of power, you must be full of the Holy Spirit. These qualities that we see in Stephen's life, they were real. And they were upon a simple man who was doing simple things. And yet, what else do we see about Stephen there in verse 8? Well, we're told that Stephen was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, I think this is super cool to see because it shows us how God works his grace and his power into the lives of ordinary people, the lives of really all of his servants, because Stephen was a simple guy who did simple church work. And look, we know, right, that Jesus did signs and wonders, but that's to be expected. It's Jesus. We know that the apostles did signs and wonders, but I mean, come on, it's the apostles. And there are some who teach that signs and wonders were given in the early church for one purpose, and that was to authenticate the message of the gospel. That Jesus and his apostles did signs and wonders in order to authenticate their teaching. Now, there's this teaching that says, once the New Testament was completed, once we had the Word of God and the gospel message was complete, written down for us as scriptures, that is when miracles, signs, and wonders ceased to be given to the church. Signs and wonders were performed by Jesus and the apostles, but look, that's ended. And some people believe and teach this, but I believe they're wrong. These people who teach this, they love Jesus deeply. They love God's word and hold it in high regard. These are people who are saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit. That might even be you here today. You would believe and teach in this way. These are simple people doing simple church work who believe and teach in this way that miracles, signs, and wonders, anything of the miraculous nature that we see in the New Testament, that ended a long time ago. But again, I believe they are wrong. And here's one reason I believe they're wrong. Stephen was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen was not an apostle. He had no authority to establish to the people. Stephen did not write any scripture. He had no message to authenticate. Stephen was a simple man doing simple church work, and yet he did great signs and wonders among the people. And so my point is simple, and it's this, is that God loves to work his great power and his great grace through his Holy Spirit-filled servants today. God still works great signs and wonders among his people today, and he works them through Holy Spirit-filled servants like Stephen. And so we can say this, the Holy Spirit's wisdom, faith, grace, and power, all things that were said to be in Stephen's life, that he was full of these things, the church today can receive that in full measure. The church today does not get a downgraded version of grace and power from God. We get the fullness of grace. We get the fullness of power by faith in Jesus as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to be a servant of the Lord. I want to be a church that is full of all that God has to offer. Nothing more than what God has to offer, I want it. Nothing less than what God has to offer, I want it. I want what the Bible says we can have. Now here's what we see though. We see that signs and wonders were not the main focus of Stephen's ministry. But rather, signs and wonders followed him as a spirit-filled servant of Jesus as he went about meeting the basic needs of the church while also proclaiming the word of God. And so what did this look like? Well, Stephen went around and he came to the widow's house and she opened the door and, oh, here's some bread. Oh, you're sick? Let me pray for you. And then she'd be healed. And that happens. That happened then and that happens now. And so verse 9, it says this, then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of those from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. Now, from what we know about Stephen thus far, he seems like a pretty awesome guy, right? I mean, he was full of these amazing Christ-like qualities. He took care of old ladies and brought them meals. Who doesn't like that, right? He was doing signs and wonders among the people. That's just amazing. What's not to like about Stephen? This guy's just solid, right? Just a good dude. But here's the thing. Do you remember what Jesus said about those who would follow him? Do you recall what Jesus said would happen if you endeavor to live a godly life in Christ? If you walk by the grace of God, if you walk in the power of God, do you remember what Jesus said we could expect? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 20, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Or recall what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. He said, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Stephen will be persecuted. Persecuted even unto death because of his godly life in Christ. Pretty sad to kill a guy who brings bread to old ladies and does miracles. You would think that people would love and treat well those who are Holy Spirit-filled, wisdom-filled, faith-filled, grace-filled, and power-filled people, but it's not so. You see, people will hate without cause when they hate Christians. And people hate Christians because they hate Christ. And people hate Christ because they don't know God the Father. Because if they knew God, they would love Jesus and they would love his church. But Jesus Christ is a polarizing person. You either love him or you hate him. You can't be neutral about Jesus. He didn't give us that option. And there are many people who claim to love God and love people, but they don't, because they reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the only Savior of the world. And the Apostle Paul was one of those people at one time, even at this point in Acts. But Jesus is in the work of bringing those who hate him into a loving relationship with him. If you don't have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you, that can happen right here today. It can begin with you not hating the words that I'm speaking to you right now. You know, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if you do not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you don't know God, and you will perish eternally in your sin because you have not known the only true Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you hate what I just said? Well, that can change for you, because there's a lot of people who love what I just said, that the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he's the only way to the Father, that he's the only way to salvation, that every other religion is false, and that only Jesus can save us. If you have a problem with that, your problem's not with me. Your problem is with the one that I'm testifying about, Jesus Christ. But again, that can change for you today. That's changed for a whole lot of people throughout history who at one point hated Jesus and hated the message of the gospel, but end up coming to accept Jesus as the only God and Savior in this world. And this is the essential message that Stephen spoke to the people. But some people rose up and they disputed the things that he was saying. The people who rose up were Jewish people. They were people who claimed to know God, but they did not know God. And I know that is a really intense thing to say. These were Jewish people, but they did not know God. They were at a good starting place as God's chosen people, because you see, the Jews were God's people set apart that he would bring forth the Messiah through them, and that when they would look to Jesus, they would be saved. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, and the Son is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is Lord. He is the one that Israel has long been waiting for, and he has come, and his name is Emmanuel. His name is Jesus. Jesus is God with us, God who became flesh to redeem all people, because he died on a cross for your sin and for my sin, and he rose from the dead to prove it. But these Jews did not agree. You might even be sitting here today and you do not agree. And so they disputed with Stephen about these truths of Jesus. These Jews who rose up to dispute Stephen came from these different places. They had different backgrounds. And look, we all come from different places. We all come from different backgrounds. We bring our stories, we bring our history, but no matter where you come from, no matter what your background, whether it's a tribe, a nation, a tongue, a philosophy, whatever it is, a practice, all of that background has to come and bow before Jesus. Doesn't matter where you come from. And so all of these Jews came from all these different places. You had those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called. And we're told in rabbinical writings that there were 480 synagogues in Jerusalem at this time. To start a synagogue, you needed 10 people, 10 men. And the synagogue was the place of learning and the place of fellowship for the Jews, whereas the temple was the place of worship and sacrifice. And apparently, this one synagogue was called the synagogue of the freedmen, And it's thought because it was made up of Jews who had come out from Roman slavery and gathered together to start this synagogue. But then there were those who came from other synagogues in other places. We see in verse 9 that there were those of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of Cilicia and Asia. All of these Jews from all of these different synagogues, together they rose up and they disputed with Stephen. That's a lot of people coming against one guy. How's Stephen going to face? How's he going to do with this? Well, let's find out. Verse 10. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Look, there's times when disputes, debates, and discussions are necessary. Because there are times when through disputes and debates and discussions, people become convinced of truth. And they end up coming to believe the truth of God. Now, a person who brings forth greater truth in a dispute or a debate, they're supposed to win, right? They're supposed to win the dispute, usually. But that doesn't always happen in this sin-filled and pride-filled world. Sometimes truth is spoken and it's clear about what is true, but it still gets rejected. And why is that? Well, people don't like being wrong. I don't like being wrong. I'm sure you don't like being wrong. But that's the world we live in. You know, there's truth and there's error. There's right and there's wrong. But how do we know what is right and wrong? How do we know what is truth or error? I'll tell you. Faith, grace, wisdom, power, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Word of God. Being full of these things of Jesus allow us to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But these freedmen, so as they were called, they disputed the truths of God, and yet as they opposed Stephen, they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen was speaking. Stephen was speaking the Word of God by the power of the Spirit of God. And when the Word of God and the Spirit of God are at work, you cannot withstand it. When the truth of God's grace in Jesus Christ comes to you, it is too powerful for anyone to withstand. Truth must be surrendered to. And you can surrender to truth with faith, faith in Jesus. And faith is believing God at his word. Faith is that if God's word says something, I believe it. Or you can reject truth. But to reject truth means that you will fall into deception. Let me read a section that follows what I've already read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I read to you verse 12, but let me read the verses that follow this section. This is what Paul says. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you what? Wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Who wrote that? The Apostle Paul. But let's not forget, the Apostle Paul has not been introduced in the book of Acts yet. Our first glimpse of him won't be until Stephen is killed at the end of chapter 7. It will say that a young man named Saul kept watch over the witnesses' garments. What that means is that Saul stood watch over everyone's belongings as they went and picked up stones and violently and with deep anger and hatred threw stones at Stephen to kill him. That's our first clear glimpse of Saul, who will later become the Apostle Paul. This was a man who hated Jesus, hated Christians, persecuted them even unto death. He wrote that because his life was changed because of truth. But there might actually be a first glimpse of Saul here in our text. Did you see it? It said that among those who rose up to dispute Stephen, there were Jews from Cilicia. Do you see Paul in there? Let me read to you here from at the very end of the book of Acts. We'll get to it one day, unless Jesus comes back again. Acts chapter 22, verse 3 through 5, Paul says, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, remember that guy? According to the strict manner of law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted the way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. But Paul didn't make it there. You know, Paul had plans to continue bringing threats against the church, and yet God intervened and saved his life. There's no one too far from God. There are people who hate Christians, and they hate the church. But that could turn around in a moment when Jesus reaches down and saves them. Do you know people like that? Have you lost hope in the fact that they can become believers? There are so many people in this lost and dying world who still need Jesus, and we are the ones to be the witnesses of the gospel of truth to them with love and grace and power, being full of the Holy Spirit, knowing the word of God, and being able to draw people into this great truth. Even if they dispute us, we continue to teach them the truth of God. Now, Paul ends up being one of the men who kills Stephen. Kills a man who is full of grace. You want to know how full of grace Stephen was? These are the last words that he said as he was dying. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Wow. Like I said earlier, Jesus is in the work of bringing those who hate him into a loving relationship. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do you see the world in that way? People who are lost and far from God? Father, forgive them. Don't hold this sin against them. They just don't know what they're doing. Their hearts and minds are darkened by the evil one, and until the light of the gospel shines upon them, how are they going to be saved? And so, like I said earlier, Jesus is in that work of bringing those who hate him into a loving relationship with him. That can start today, especially if that happens to be you. You can receive God's grace through faith in the Son. Now, those from the synagogue of the freedmen and other places, they couldn't stand Stephen. They disputed with him, but he was right. They couldn't dispute the gospel. Instead, they turned against him. They instead of turning to the way of Jesus, they turned against him and they turned to deception. And verse 11 through 14, let's read what they did. Then they secretly instigated men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and of God. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, this man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind when I read this is this, is look at how much work it takes to resist truth. They had to work secretly. They had to instigate men. They had to come up with lies. They had to stir up the crowds and stir up those who were in authority. They had to come upon Stephen. They had to seize him. They had to bring him before the council. They had to set up false witnesses, and they still had to come up with more lies. But do you know what would have been much easier? If they had simply believed upon Jesus Christ as Lord. But instead, with disdain, they called Jesus this Jesus of Nazareth. What might have followed if they had actually believed the words that Stephen spoke? If these Jews had believed the gospel message and received Jesus by grace through faith, we would have read something along the lines of, "And the Lord added to himself those who were being saved, Jews from Jerusalem, Cyrene, Alexandria, Cilicia, and Asia, but instead these men rejected the gospel." And think about how much work it takes to not love Jesus, to reject the gospel. It requires a great deal of work to resist grace. It requires a whole lot of lies to deny wisdom. It requires much human energy to resist the Holy Spirit's power. So why not surrender? Why not surrender to the love of Jesus with faith? Why not be filled with faith, grace, wisdom, power, and the Holy Spirit? You know, maybe you're here today and you're with a family member who loves and follows Jesus, and you just see some of the way in which they just live their life being full of these things, and it's like, why is this so easy for them? And why is it so hard for me? Do you know why? It's because they've surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. They're living for someone and for something that is bigger than themselves. Now, it's not easy to be a Christian, right? Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness? Come on, hallelujah. Can I get a witness? It ain't easy being a Christian. But it's also hard not to be one. Why not be filled with the things of God? Why not take God at his word and receive eternal life that can start right now? Right now. If God is speaking to you right now, what I'm saying is read in your mail. Right now, you can receive God's grace with faith and say, I surrender. John 3:16-21 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world." This Jesus. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. These men who came against Stephen, they hated the darkness. Or they hated the light. They loved the darkness. And they chose deception over truth. These men will work in secret against Stephen. They will instigate people to lie about Stephen. They will stir up crowds and religious authorities to oppose Stephen. They will come upon Stephen. They'll seize him. They'll drag him to court for speaking the truth. They will set up false witnesses against Stephen. And they will persecute Stephen because they hated this Jesus of Nazareth. For example, they said in verse 11, "We heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." That's probably because Stephen was saying that Jesus is God, that he's the Son of God, God who became flesh, and that he's greater than Moses. Moses brought the law, but Jesus has brought grace. They said in verse 11, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place in the law." That's probably because Stephen said that Jesus died and rose again, and like a temple that gets destroyed but can be rebuilt in 3 days, just as Jesus said, Jesus is the risen one. And that as believers, we are now his temple. God doesn't dwell in Jerusalem in that holy place. He dwells within every believer who calls upon his name. We are the temple of the living God now. And this is a gift of God's grace. And it can't be earned. It can't be earned by your obedience to the law of God. It must be received by grace because Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law of God. That's probably what Stephen said, right? They said in verse 14, "For we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." That's probably because Stephen said that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and of the temple and of the sacrifices, and probably because he spoke out against those religious traditions of men, just as Jesus had done when he walked the earth. None of these things that they said were true. But what they were doing was they were taking the things that Stephen was saying and they were distorting his words because they were being deceitful in their dealings. And this happens all the time. People take the things that Christians say, people take what the Word of God says, and they distort it because they're being deceitful in their dealings. That's why it's important that we rightly divide the Word of truth. Now, does this sound familiar to you? Does this sound like anything that happened to Jesus? It's almost identical. One of the striking things about Stephen, a simple man who did simple church work, is how much he resembles Jesus. The things that Jesus went through when he was put to death. Remember that? The secret work, the instigating, the stirring, the seizing, the disputing, the false witnesses. Stephen is just going down that same path that his Lord went down. It's the way of the cross. It's losing your life to save it. And he's doing it full of grace and full of power, just like Jesus, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this to his disciples right after speaking about the destruction of the temple. Remember that? And which is what the Jews tried to arrest Jesus for. You know, the Jews in those days, they weren't allowed to arrest people because Israel at that time was under Roman occupation. And only the Romans could execute, you know, capital punishment. That is, unless there was someone who was speaking out or doing deeds against the temple. And then the Jews could prosecute. Then the Jews could sentence people to death. And so that's what the Jews did. They knew that they wanted Jesus dead, so they tried saying that he would speak against the temple. It's because, and the problem is when they couldn't do it, they handed him over to Pilate for the Romans to do it because they couldn't withstand him. But here, they're bringing those same slanderous charges against Stephen. Only this time they'll succeed and they'll put him to death. Now, Luke chapter 21, verse 12 through 17. Listen super closely to this, please. Jesus said these words to his disciples. He's even saying these words to us today for our preparation, if it may come. It says in verse 12, "But before all of this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives." I can only imagine that Stephen was thinking these words of Jesus in this moment. Stephen is living out exactly what Jesus said would happen to his disciples. And remember, Stephen is not an apostle. He's a table server. A simple guy doing simple church work, yet he did it in wisdom and in the power of the Spirit. And next week, you're going to have to come back to hear the words that Stephen speaks. They're so powerful. They're so full of grace. His understanding of the scripture is next to none. It's incredible. But for now, look at the way that Stephen stands in this moment. Verse 15, and gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Stephen was now standing before the Sanhedrin council, 70 Jewish men in that hall of hewn stones. You remember that? He now appears in that place that Jesus had been before. He now appears in that place that Peter and John had been before. He's now standing in the place where all the 12 apostles had been before, but now it's Stephen's turn. Again, he's not Jesus. He's not the apostles. He's just an ordinary guy, a regular guy who loves Jesus. And he'll stand before this council to give an account for his love of Christ. A simple man doing simple church work, a man full of grace and power, it's his turn to bear witness to the name of Jesus. Are you a simple person doing simple church work? I think that would probably define most all of us who are believers. We're not trying to say, I'm not trying to say, look, I'm like the apostles here. I'm just a simple guy doing simple church work, and yet I want to do it full of grace, full of power, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, and I will count the cost of whatever may come my way for declaring the name of Jesus from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so it's his turn to bear witness. It's my turn to bear witness. It's your turn to bear witness, even to people who hate you. You guys are pretty nice. No one stood up here today to dispute with me and to pick up rocks and throw at me, you know? Maybe in your heart you've hated some of the things I've said today. I don't know. I think I'm a pretty good judge of character, but, you know, there might be some people, and you just really, some of the stuff I said just really busted your chops. But I hope that what you've been able to see today, as I've spoken from the Word of God, as much as I've asked for the Holy Spirit to fill me to speak these words with wisdom and grace, this is what I hope. I hope that you've seen something like the face of an angel. I got a pretty good face, right? It's pretty nice. So. But we're talking about Stephen. We're not talking about me here. Yeah. They saw his face. It was like the face of an angel. Now, does that mean that he had a baby face? Right? Because, you know, angels in artistic depictions, like little chubby babies, you know? No, I don't think that's what he's talking about. When it says that he had the face that is like an angel, let's think about what angels are. They are messengers of God that enjoy the fellowship of close proximity with God. If you are a messenger of God who enjoys the close proximity of fellowship with God, people are gonna notice that. As they said of Peter and John, these are uneducated men, and yet we can tell that they had been with Jesus. When people look at your life, when people look at your face, can they tell that you have been in close proximity with God? And that the words that come out of your mouth, you are a messenger of God. Your words bring life and truth and grace and wisdom. There's this radiance about you because you know Jesus and you're known by him. You have this close and intimate fellowship with him that people can even see it on your face. I want to be that. Do you want to be that? I want to be that. I wasn't going to share this, but I shared it earlier. I think it's hilarious. Charles Spurgeon commented on this verse, and he said, when a pastor or any messenger of God speaks about the glories of heaven or the splendors of Christ, he says, you should have the face that is like the appearance of an angel. But when you're talking about hell, your normal face will do. So you have to come back next week. To hear the words that Stephen will speak before this council, they're incredible. Come back next week to hear that. But as I end here, don't wait until next week to come into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. If today you've heard what has been spoken and you cannot withstand what the Word of God and the Spirit of God has spoken to you today, today you can surrender to Jesus. He's calling you to come to Him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for every person in this place, Lord, who has come to give an ear to what your word teaches us. Thank you that your spirit has been alive and moving in our midst, Lord. And I pray that if there be anyone here today who would want to come into a loving relationship with you, I pray that they would do that. We understand, Lord, that you've made it pretty clear in your word that we can't be neutral about you. We can't be undecided about you. To be undecided about you is to be decided about you. It's to be against you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would all be for you, that you have set before us this day life and death, and you say, choose life. And so, in this moment, I'm gonna ask if there's anyone here today, and based on what you've heard today, you've heard the gospel message, you've heard the word of God, God's been speaking to you by his spirit, and he's drawing you to himself, and today you wanna surrender, today you wanna come to Christ, would you just raise your hand right up where you are? Would you raise your hand up right where you are? As a sign, just to say, Lord, I want to surrender. I want to believe. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, don't be shy. Don't be timid. Just raise your hand right where you are. Anyone here today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we know that this message has also been for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. This is the message we bear, church, to go out and to declare the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.